Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. This show will help you dial in on what it takes to drive a successful digital transformation journey. You will learn about the best practices and premier strategies used from industry leaders who have driven millions of dollars in net positive business transformations. In the next 20 minutes, we'll cover another important element that you need to know to make your digital transformation successful. My name is Sarah Dokowitz, and I'm your host, and I want to thank you for joining us today. In today's episode, we are going to cover the phenomenon of e-commerce. Thousands of businesses have been able to grow their revenues and optimize their sales by opening up their online channel by incorporating e-commerce into their operations. The most obvious industry being retail, but e-commerce has become such a prominent part of consumer interest that it is now applicable to literally any industry. With a strong e-commerce presence comes a lot of back-end logistics that make a fully or partially online business successful. Whether you're dabbling in the thought of branching out your online presence due to COVID-19, or you're trying to figure out how to optimize your existing online operations, Brian Potts has some insights that will spark your interest. Brian is the Chief Client Officer and Managing Partner of Third Stage Consulting Group, an independent and technology agnostic digital transformation consulting firm. He and his team have worked with some of the world's leading organizations in their transformation journeys, and they have watched the trends that have transformed business as we know it, thanks to the little thing we call the internet. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk again.
Of course. Good to be back and good to see you. Now, from the range of clients that you've worked with throughout your career, you've seen organizations make the pivot from brick and mortar to online sales in various capacities. Now, can you speak to the changes that you've seen during your career and how e-commerce in general has evolved over time?
Sure. So e-commerce has been developing for a very long time. I don't know the originations of it, but the idea of ordering online started well before Amazon, well before eBay. So it's been a slow trend that's gotten more in a hockey stick shape recently. With this year, particularly with COVID, it's accelerated beyond a point that I think any of us foresaw. So it's been a slow growth. It's been scaling quickly compared to other technologies, but this year particularly has just, you know, compounded the need for e-commerce and the request for it.
Absolutely. And here are some fun facts for our listeners too. More and more people are shopping online every single year. And in 2021, an estimated 2.14 billion consumers are going to be making purchases online. And e-commerce sales are expected to account for 17.5% of retail sales worldwide. That's just insane. Now, whether a product or a service, there are still some businesses that don't even have a website. Now, why is developing an e-commerce strategy important?
So first, let's clarify, having a website and providing e-commerce are two separate things. Most businesses, not all, but most businesses have a website. Far fewer, and I think it's in the range of somewhere around 50% of businesses have the ability a little bit.
Do you want to just take it from that answer? I think you're cutting off a little bit.
Yeah. So, I think the first clarification of importance here is that having a website and providing e-commerce are very different things. Mm-hmm. Not all businesses have websites. Even fewer have the ability to sell services or products online. And the importance that companies are now realizing to have their product or service online is increasing. Even though if you're a small business owner and you aren't selling online, think about your experience with other retailers. When you want to buy something, what's your first inclination? With COVID, most of us can't get out and go get stuff the way we used to. So we're going to go online. That's the first option for most consumers in most scenarios. Now, there are certain businesses that, you know, either don't have an online presence that might not need one. There's some that are growing in demand. But in most cases, if you're not looking at the potential for e-commerce, you're probably missing out on something.
Got it. And what are some success stories that you've seen from your experience in working with clients who have invested in their online operations?
I think the biggest, call it direct benefit that I have seen is, well, easy one is an increase in sales. If it's easier for consumers to purchase, they're going to purchase more. We're especially people that order online, we are looking for simplicity. We're looking for ease of access. We're looking for the ability to push a button and order. You know, a lot of people years ago, call it 10 years ago, have been hesitant to make purchases on, you know, common platforms like Amazon. Now that more and more people have become comfortable with that, the numbers are increasing dramatically. So it's ease of use, it increases profitability. The other benefit that companies are realizing is an expanded client base. Mm. Where when you were not online, you're limited to a geographic stretch. No longer the case. You know, with all the availability of you know, third-party logistics, you've got all the shipping companies that you can deal with. It's very easy to get products to one place or another. It's also becoming easier to provide services online. In our experience, for example, you no longer have to visit, you know, it's called an auditing firm. You no longer have to go visit with somebody, sit through their paperwork. They can send stuff online, you can place an order online, and you can communicate as a consultant even via internet. So I think all businesses, for the most part, are finding an expanded client base. It's diminishing the importance of geographic locality.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely amazing. You can just hit so many more people, like you were saying. And I think that's the blessing. And maybe sometimes could be the curse if you expand too quickly and you're not ready for it too. But I love the fact that you can reach so many more people at one time. So the impact is great. Can you speak a little bit to the technologies that the clients you've worked with have implemented? Like, are there go-to front-end solutions and back-end solutions that business leaders should be aware of as we continue evolving deeper and deeper into the world of e-commerce?
Yeah, so I think one way to look at this is e-commerce is a platform in itself. So you need your website, you need an e-commerce platform, something like a Shopify, BigCommerce, one of those names that's going to open up your shopping cart and allow a portal where clients can place orders. On the back end, you've got your own technology, so call it ERP, your financial systems that manage inventory, manage your financials, create the invoices that, and then integrate with the e-commerce platform. There are some larger technologies and, you know, ERP platforms are now starting to integrate and internalize some of that. But for the most part, you're going to have a platform that allows you to sell online.
Awesome. Got it. So it sounds like you're not there yet. It's time to get there. So I feel like the transition to e-commerce has been inevitable all along, and COVID has definitely just been the catalyst to move business online quicker than it may have before. So when we come back from a quick break, Brian and I are going to dive into some ideas for those of you who may already be operating partially or fully online and how you can be better, do more, and optimize your operations through your digital strategy. We'll be right back with more of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah Dokovich speaking with Brian Potts from Third Stage Consulting about the new state of e-commerce. So, Brian, I want to shift our focus and discuss optimizing operations for companies that are already seeing success in the e-commerce space. So there are a lot of companies out there that are growing and running their business fully online. Can you share some insights on how e-commerce-based businesses can optimize their operations by implementing an ERP system on the back end?
Yeah, so I think a lot of businesses, and we've talked to many businesses called essential services, any that if you're selling toilet paper or things like that, you've had an expanse of business where you might have been operating on spreadsheets, QuickBooks, something like that, and you got an overwhelming burst of new business requests for products or services, and it's just becoming a nightmare to manage. The manual efforts are increasing and things like that. So this would be the time to look at what technology can you bring in to start to automate some of your back-end operations. I love using the toilet paper example. It's a little bit redundant at this point, but think about a company such as Costco. They had an online platform, they have for years. Customers can get on an order. They got crushed with orders for toilet paper, not only in the store, but online. People are just putting in orders, not available, get in line. How do you build up and track those requests? How do you facilitate the supply chain in expanding your available network of suppliers? How do you prioritize those when orders are ready, when you've got enough inventory? How do you modify pricing accordingly based on increased demand? Those kind of decisions, if done manually, the larger you get, just become enormous to the point where you're probably not going to do it. So that's where something like an ERP can come in and help you with forecasting, navigation of supply chain, order management, inventory management, and bring that all together, single source of truth, so that you can make business decisions. Make sure that your decisions aren't crippling the business. If you're promising to fill orders that you can't fulfill, there's a big problem with that. An ERP can help to manage that, supply order relationship.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, many companies also go about their day to day putting up with operational elements that could be holding them back, whether it be like order management struggles, revenues and expenditures becoming more complex as the business grows, all while operating on manual processes. It's like the comfort zone until it's no longer comfortable. So how will an online business know that it's time to integrate an ERP software?
So yeah, that's a great question. And if you're part of an organization that's been growing, if you've seen increased demand, you start to see what we call stress cracks or pain points, and you should not ignore those. It's similar to your doctor telling you if you have consistent headaches, if you've got symptoms that might suggest an illness, you need to do something about it. It may or may not be a problem, but you need to look into it. Same thing with your business, is if you're starting to see pain points, identify the root cause of those. If it's just manual entries, overwhelm of information, lack of data management, and those things that where an automation or a technology set could facilitate, start to look at what that might look like. It's not necessarily an immediate process, but you want to start understanding what is driving that decision for new software early on, so that you're building essentially an internal business case and justification for needing that. It can be a problem, and we saw this in a number of cases with companies recently, and call it March, April, May, as their orders just expanded. They said, I need a new ERP. And they pulled the trigger on buying something, not understanding that what it takes to actually implement. So you need to understand the longer term impacts to your business of onboarding new technology, making use of it, and make sure that the timeline is feasible with your business tracking and implementation timeline.
Awesome. That makes total sense. And from what you've seen with your clients, what are the benefits that come along with integrating an ERP system into an online-based business?
Yeah, so the whole idea with online is you're increasing your customer base, you're expanding your revenue potential. You're going to have increased profitability if you're able to allow that full spectrum to be automated. So you're automating the sales online, but if you don't automate the back end and the operations, you're going to hit a roadblock, and the benefit that you've gained from more sales online is it's going to frustrate you and you're not going to be able to deliver. So in a sense, you will need to find a way to automate the end-to-end process of getting that order in online versus fulfilling it through your operations.
And if there is an online business that's ready to take the step and optimize the operations, where should they start? Like, how do you choose the right ERP systems for this specific industry?
Yeah, so there's a whole range of, and we can get into software evaluation in another set, but the first thing you need to understand is your base requirements. Now, one of those requirements, if you're already online, is what is your online platform? Are you set on Shopify? Have you built it out to a point where you can't replace that? If that's the case, that becomes a requirement to selecting ERP. So you don't want to disrupt what's working. If you've got a more complex operation, you're using transportation logistics, you're using a CRM platform that is working, has been developed, and you're using it as needed, select the software, an ERP software that will integrate with those existing systems rather than trying to replace what you've already invested in and built. There's enough integrations available that should not be a deterrent to getting the right platform, and it will save you time and frustration.
Ah, that's so informative. Yeah, it's great to know that you don't necessarily have to like change the platform that you may have already been established on. And there is a lot of ways that things can integrate. So that's really useful, because I think for a lot of people, that tech like integration part of things can be very like clunky, to say the least.
It is clunky, and you just want to set those as requirements and make sure you know before you purchase a software what that's going to look like.
Mm. Yeah, always start with the end in mind, right?
Exactly.
Yep. And I have a last question for you as well. So for those companies that are taking the plunge into investing in their digital transformation, what types of companies find the most value in hiring a third-party consultant? And what should those companies be looking for in an integration partner?
Yeah, so there's a large network of parties that will be involved in a transformation. On the outset, you've got called the independent software advisory groups. That's what Third Stage does. And these are companies that will help you to identify your digital roadmap and strategy and select the appropriate software. The importance with those companies is understanding and confirming that there's independence, and then they're not leading you into a particular software. So if you reach out to what we call a software reseller that maybe sells three or four different packages, you're going to be steered in the direction of one of those packages. Mm. On the back end, then when you get into implementation, you will be working with either a vendor direct or a system implementer or value-added reseller. And those are representatives of the software solution that you've selected that will be doing the technical integration piece. The trick with those is to match the capabilities and the bandwidth of those firms and the resources to your needs. There's a lot of requests right now for implementation of ERP systems. So you want to find a group that has availability. They have the certification on the technology that you're implementing. And what I mean by that is make sure that they are certified and understand the latest version of the software that you're bringing in. The cloud emergence, for example, is leaving a lot of people that still aren't quite trained up. A lot of first and second timers on these implementations that are causing some delays and operational disruption. So make sure you've got the right team, the experience, and the bandwidth with the implementation partner. And ideally, you've got a form of quality assurance that would be a third party that rides along from an extension of your internal team, making sure that you're implementing the requirements as you need it, making sure that you're meeting timelines, making sure that testing and training are done accurately. Because understand with the software and the implementation partner that they're being led and driven by the best interest of the software. We want to make sure that you're implementing this from the best interest of you as an implementing company. So that would require what we call quality assurance. So those are some of the different players that will be involved. And to determine the level of support that you need in those different parties, you know, a few things you can look at are, what is the impact to your business if this fails? If that answer is this would derail us, this would cause significant disruption, this would, you know, potentially be business ending, you need to get more help than less. The other thing to consider is, what is your internal capability and bandwidth? A lot of companies say, oh, well, we'll take this on internally. But what does that look like? Do you really understand how much people's time and the fact that you're going to need very important people's time to be part of this project? You can supplement that with third-party resources. Of course, you have to pay for that. But a lot of times that makes business sense, and that you don't want to distract too much from your business operations and, you know, taking too much of people's time away.
Ah, that is so valuable. So much. Thank you so much for sharing that. And if any of our listeners want to like learn more about digital transformations and ERP strategy, what are some resources that you might suggest for them?
Well, Third Stage has a bunch of resources that are available. I recommend subscribing to our YouTube channel, our website. You've got thought leadership that we publish. Doing a little bit of your own research online is not a bad thing, but I would give the caution that it's easy to get down rabbit holes. Understand that the majority of what you find when you put something out on Google or Bing or whatever search engine you're using is paid for and being managed by the providers. So don't get too involved in this is the best software on the planet until you validate that yourself. It's good to get your teeth wet and to understand what's available in the market. But we caution against getting too deep into everything that you read through marketing platforms and what's available online.
Yeah, that's really good advice, because there is a lot of information out there. And like you said, a lot of it can be paid for. So got to look out for that. Well, we're about out of time, but thank you so much for being here with us today, Brian. We really appreciate all of the sound knowledge and information that you provided with us today.
It's a pleasure. Look forward. If anybody has questions, please reach out to me directly as well. My information is below. And yeah, love talking about this stuff, so please reach out.
Amazing. Thank you again. And thank you to all of you for listening as well. My name is Sarah Dirkovic, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.